We're continuing a series entitled On the Road to Easter. And today we're going to discover truth about His church. It's the eighth message in this series. The idea of this series is very simple. We begin with the baptism and the temptation of Christ, and we chronologically move through the scripture until we come to Palm Sunday, when I will speak about the crucifixion, and then Easter Sunday, when we will talk about the resurrection and conclude this series. Today we talk about God's church, the church triumphant. When I mention the word church, what do you think about? A denomination, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian? Do you think about a location? Oh, you mean that church over there, or that church on that street, or in that city? Do you think about a group of people? He's a member, she's a member of that church. Do you think about the beauty of a building? Do you think, well, a cathedral, a contemporary, a modern? Do you think about doctrine? That's the church that believes in. Or that's the church that does not believe in. Do you think about tradition? Why, that church is 100 years old or older. If we were to survey the congregation this morning, ever how many people present, that's about how many definitions of church we would get. And while that might be interesting, it's really not that important. The important definition of church, the important concept of church, is what Jesus has to say about it. It's what the Word of God tells us about the church. So today, in our mind's eye, we're going to take a trip to the little area called Caesarea Philippi. Been there a number of times on trips to Israel, as many of you have been with me on those trips. And you remember, it's the place where today's passage of Scripture was spoken by our Lord. So in Matthew chapter 16, I'll begin reading with verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter replied, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then He strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that He was the Christ. As we move through these verses, I want to talk to you about the formation of the church, about the foundation of the church, something about the church and her fellowship, the church and her future, and finally, the church and her function. Why are we here? What is our purpose in the world? And specifically and expressly, at 3333 Dave Ward Drive. Why is the Central Baptist Church in Conway, Arkansas, present on this planet? We'll move quickly, so listen closely. The formation of the church. I will build. I don't want to offend you, but Jesus didn't say he was going to build your church or my church or this church. He said, I will build my church. This church is not just your church. It's certainly not just my church, but this church is his church. He is the one who has openly declared he's the builder of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's not referring to a location, nor is he referring to a building. And chunk something at me if you will, he's not even referring to a denomination. He's referring to a group of people born of the Spirit of God, baptized in the Holy Ghost of God, full of the Spirit of God, practicing the things of God, meeting together with other people of God, saved by the grace of God, and bound for the kingdom of God, who know that they know that they are God's children. I will build my church. My church. The word ecclesia that most of you have heard if you've been in a Baptist church for any length of time means called out ones in the New Testament Greek. Now, it was not always exclusively used of the church. It could be called out ones as an invitation to a gathering. It could be called out ones as somebody soliciting people to do a job. But when Jesus used it in this capacity, it's talking about his church being those who have been called out of the world and set into the kingdom of God to be a fellowship of believers who serve him and who live for him, who walk with him, and who are looking forward to him coming back again. So his church that he is building is an ecclesia, called out people for the glory of God. The second thing I want you to notice is the foundation. He said, who do men say that I am? What's being talked about in the marketplace? What's being talked about over the water fountain? When people come together and they hear about Jesus and the miracles of the ministry and the disciples, what are they saying? And somebody said, well, some of them think it's John the Baptist back from the dead. And others think it's the spirit of boldness and courage that Elijah had. And some of them think it's like Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And somebody thinks it's just a special prophet, a man of God that's come along. And he said, who do you say that I am? Without reservation and without hesitation, Peter said, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. So when we talk about the foundation of the church, here's what we're talking about. He said, Peter, the pebble, I'm going to build my church upon Petra, the boulder. Not upon you, the person, but upon your statement that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. So the church of the Lord Jesus is not built upon Peter. The church of the Lord Jesus is built upon what Peter testified, that Christ is the Son of the living God. Upon that statement, upon that foundational statement, upon that testimony that Jesus Christ is not John the Baptist back from the dead, that Jesus Christ is not Elijah, that Jesus Christ is not a prophet, he's not Jeremiah, he's not just a special man, he is without reservation the Son of the living God. And based upon that, Jesus said, I build my church. The truth is, it's not built upon you or me or any other man that has ever graced this earth. It is built upon the God-man, Jesus Christ himself. Formation, I will build foundation upon this rock, Petra, the solid rock. Let me talk to you a moment about the fellowship of the church. Because if it is an ecclesia, if it is a called out body of believers, then this called out body of believers must assemble at some point in time and in some place. Paul, if he is the writer of the Hebrew epistle, made this very plain when he said, "You don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some do." He is insisting that the church of the living God not go its separate ways, but find places where they can come together in fellowship. Now, there's a Greek word for that, koinonia. You use that sometimes to name a class because it means Christian fellowship. Those who have been called together, called out of the world, and together for the fellowship of the gospel. Koinonia is the word that he uses. The emphasis here is that the called out ones come together and fellowship around a common cause, that they have been saved by the grace of God. Now listen very closely. I want to make something plain here. Anytime the church attempts to fellowship around anything or anybody except Jesus, problems arise. The only true common denominator we have is Jesus Christ. You see, he's not talking about white, Anglo-Saxon, middle America, 2017 folks. He's talking about the red man, the yellow man, the black man, the white man. He's talking about the rich man and the poor man. He's talking about the PhD and the first grader. He's talking about everybody in every set of circumstances. He's talking about nation after nation after nation. He's talking about the spirits of the saints throughout the ages. He's saying there is only one common denominator, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. And for you to try to gather together and fellowship around any cause or any circumstance or any situation other than Jesus is for you to miss the point. Why? Because it's his church. It's his church. It's his church. Early in our ministry, Maggie asked an older pastor if he could give her some insight, some information, some encouragement about being a pastor's wife. And I thought he'd talk to her about all-night prayer meetings, read the Bible through every year. You know what he did? He looked at her and said, "If you want to be a really good pastor's wife, when your husband's pastoring a church, stay out of the kitchen and stay out of the nursery. Because that's where the most problems come from in any church." And she's done a good job of that through the years. And so there's unity in the house of God. Can I get a witness? My baby didn't get its diaper changed. Stay out of the nursery. Whose recipe is that anyhow? It's awful. Stay out of the kitchen. See what I'm saying? Stay in the altar. Stay in the classroom. Stay in the pew. But do your fellowshipping around Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's our common denominator. We may not have much else in common, but you get this: when the trumpet sounds, we're all going up together. And you get this: when the dust settles, we're going to be walking on streets of gold face to face with Christ, our Savior. That's the fellowship of the church. Let me tell you something about the future of the church. If you could go there to Caesarea Philippi, here's what you'd see. As you stand facing, about from here to the back wall, as you stand facing, you see a large cave. It's where the god Pan had children sacrificed to him. Idolatry, all sorts of lascivious and sexual problems in that area. A large cave where ungodliness lived and was very active. Obviously, a cave is surrounded by a boulder, a rock larger than, higher than, bigger than the cave. Jesus stood there and he pointed at the cave. And he pointed at the boulder, and he said, "The gates of hell will never rise above the testimony that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said it in such a way, they got it. It's beautiful to read it out of your Bible, but to stand there and see that ancient cave, and to know the degradation and ungodliness that occurred within that cave, and to look up and see that boulder rising high above that cave, and to hear him say, "The cave is hell, and I am the true foundation, and hell will never rise above who I am, the Son of God, the living Son of God." That is to grasp the picture and to get the message that Jesus was sending out that day. And I want to tell you something. Here's the exciting part. He called it the gates of hell. Gates are not offensive weapons. At best, a gate is a defensive weapon. We're the ones with the sword. Did you hear me? We are the ones with the sword. All the devil's got is a gate. It ought not to be us running from him in fear. It ought to be us attacking hell with a water pistol if necessary, that we might win men to Jesus and that we might defeat the devil and bind him and turn him out in every way possible. We're the conquerors. We're the victors. We're more than victors through Christ that loved us. We've got the sword of the Spirit of the living God, and all the devil's got is the gate, and the gates are going to be broken down. And I've got news for you. When I read you the last verse, and he says, "Peter, here are the keys of the kingdom. The reason I know the gates are coming down is because we got the key to the gate. We're in charge, and we ought to charge hell and lift up Jesus Christ in our midst today." So what's the function of the church as we close? It's very simple. The function of the church. This verse has been misunderstood and misused in every sort of way. Let me give you my simple explanation. He said, "I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." That's a hard verse in 2017. Let's go back a couple of thousand years and let me tell you what it means. The priest was in charge of the temple and all the ceremonial laws. The scribe was in charge of translating the Old Testament into simplistic New Testament truth. He didn't always do a very good job, but the scribe was responsible for taking the principles, the precepts, the judgment, Old Testament truth, and translating it into the New Testament. And when Jesus asked, "Who do men say that I am?" and Peter said, "Well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter became a scribe. He took Old Testament revelation and transferred it into New Testament understandable, simplistic truth. He told everybody what God had been speaking for 4,000 years. You know what Genesis said? It said the seed of woman's going to bruise the head of the serpent. You know what Exodus says? Exodus says there is a deliverance and it's coming through the shedding of blood. Do you know what Numbers and Leviticus and Deuteronomy say? God's still in business. He's still working with his people. You know what Joshua says? We're going to cross over into a land of milk and honey. I tell you, everything God said in the Old Testament can be summed up in one sentence: "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's our message. That's all we've got to tell the nations, but that's all we need to tell the nations. If Jesus is Lord over all, he's the answer to all your problems. He takes care of all your difficulties. He heals all your diseases. He guides your life. He stops and starts his will in such a way that he's glorified and we get the better of it. We're good because of who God is. So let me tell you what the function of the church is. It's real simple. There is a great commission. You go and preach. And there's a great commandment. You love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor, just like you love yourself. You want to make it simple? That's the function of the church. We quit functioning like the Bible tells us to. We become a social, economical grouping of people. We really want to get in there and get it done. We go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptize believers and disciple them. We love the Lord our God with all of our heart and everybody else just like we love ourselves. Function of the church. So here it is. "Peter, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom." You say, "Really?" Because see, I've heard Peter trashed in most Baptist churches. But let's get this right. He's not the Pope. Did you hear what I said? He was not the first Pope. Here's what Peter was. Peter became a scribe when he took an Old Testament revelation and gave it out in simplistic form, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so Jesus said, "Listen, Peter, here's what you need to know. What's already been decided in heaven is going to come to pass on earth. And the way what's already decided in heaven is going to come to pass on the earth is I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom." You know what the keys of the kingdom did for Peter? He was the very first one on the day of Pentecost that broke the gospel out to the Jewish nation. And several chapters later, he's the very first one that broke the gospel out to the Gentiles when he preached at the home of Cornelius. You know what the keys of the kingdom is? To open the mysteries of the Old Testament and make them simple and plain for every person to understand that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and that no man comes to the Father except by Him. You've got the key. Did you hear me? You got the key. I've got the key. We've got the key. And mark down in your mind that that which has already been determined in heaven will come to pass on earth, because the revelation of the Old Testament has become the revealing in the New Testament that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's His church. He formed it and built it upon Himself. He called us unto Himself to fellowship in nothing else and no one else except the name of Jesus. Our future is we're going to rise, and the gates of hell will never stop us from doing so. And our function right now is to go and tell and to love the Lord our God with all our heart and our neighbors as ourselves. Let's stand. Pastors will be here on the altar. God has spoken to your heart this morning about trusting in Christ as Savior, about becoming a part of this New Testament church, or about commitment, about obedience, about repentance. We'll be here to help you any way we possibly can.